Hi, my name is Brenda Daly, and this is Real Women Celebrating Women in Independent Film. I am here with Jill Gray Savarese. She is a actor, writer, producer, and she has just finished doing a film called Tango Shalom. And I'd like to say hello to her. Hey, Jill, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm super excited to talk to you. I noticed that when I looked on your IMDb page that you had done Seinfeld, and I was like super excited to see that because that was one of my favorite shows.
Yes.
It must have been super fun to work with those people and it be was. On that set.
It was. That was a really long time ago when Seinfeld came out. So at the beginning of my acting career, when I had first moved to LA, I was really excited to get connected to that show because at the time it was an important, popular show, but it hadn't turned into what it has become. And there was no way we could have known that Seinfeld would have been as big as it has become over the years. So yeah, I think it's really exciting to be a part of something that has turned out to be that iconic.
I think it's super iconic. And so yeah. When I was at the Producers Guild of America conference produced by, they were talking about how no one thought anybody could ever sell a show about nothing.
Right. I think it's funny that that's become the phrase, the show about nothing. It's been the way that people have viewed Seinfeld. And I don't know what the history is, that to be honest with you, but I know that somehow that came about, but it's actually a show about something. And that was just something that people picked up on for some reason. And I think because at the time it was the first show that really was focused on the minutia of people's lives. And right, and so it was really just not something that you would consider worthy of a half an hour situation comedy.
Yeah, but I think that's the comedy in it, is that yeah. They're just normal people, and then of course they're a little higher than normal, but I think people really enjoyed the character. So it was really a show about the characters,
it
not
was.
Really their situation. Right. You know, maybe a little bit of situation, but
well, it's the everyday things that come up that seem absurd in your normal life, uh-huh. Which is why I think we can view it as a show about nothing, because our lives are made up of many of those moments, which they're not nothing. Yeah. Because if you remember, some of the episodes turned into something really major. I mean, the one that I was a part of, the Junior Mint episode, was about they were watching a surgery. They were observing a surgery, and he drops his Junior Mint into the incision and the patient below. And so that's not nothing. Like if that would happen in real life, that would be something.
No, that's true. That's true.
But how it comes about, how these things come about, seems to just be what the show is focused on, just these absurd moments.
Right. So I noticed you're going back more into the acting phase. I know you've been doing some producing and writing.
Yes.
But what are your plans for your acting phase? Have you thought about what your future or what kind of roles you'd like to play?
Well, this is something I've been thinking about recently. Now, when I started out, I was an actor. I've always been an actor at heart and trained as an actor. I went to I actually started performing before I went to acting school. When I was a teen, I was doing amusement parks, and I had some professional jobs then. But then I went to acting school at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. And so I was always trained as an actor. That was always my goal. And I did that for many years. And then I realized that it was difficult to get roles, like you were putting it in someone else's hands. And I wasn't prepared, and especially for women, because think about how many epic, you know, tentpole features there are where there's, you know, they cast many men in all of those roles, and there might be one woman. Think of, you know, Princess Leia, or, you know, some of these other action
films. There's always like 10 men to one girl.
Yeah, right.
So it's really hard to break through. And the thing is that I think at that time period, they felt like that was who was watching and who was more interested. Plus it was run by all men for the most
I think
part.
That's the key right there. I think people want to put in film, they want to reflect themselves. And because most of the helmers were men, and the people who were financing it, producing it, and everything else were men, you know, that, and women are used to that and happy to watch those. I watch films, action films. I like watching them, I enjoy them, I'm used to them. But it's different. Like if you were to ask someone to watch a film that is female centric and focuses on issues of concern for women, or that women think are funny, it will be called, or at least historically, in my era of starting out as an actor, it would have been called a chick flick. And like it's designated that these particular themes are only of interest to women. But right. That's not the case.
That's not really true, but true, because, you know, my husband's an avid television watcher, and right. I think he should be like the person that should pick programs for men and women, because he will fight the whole women show, but he loves Good Girls. Like, and that's one of my favorites. Like, he loves their situation. Yeah.
You mean the show?
The show, Good Girls. Have you seen it? Oh, it's a great show. And then, of course, now we have all these iconic characters that are coming out, like The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, and so we're having these huge shows,
and they're very centered around women. And I think for women like us, we will have more roles. Like, there's way more roles for us. It's not all, there's still a lot of movies coming out that it's mostly a male cast. But I think you're right. I think women are coming to the forefront.
Right. And so because of that, think about the ratio. So you've got all of these roles for men, but if you have an acting class, look how many more women are auditioning. So it's disproportionately male. So I would like to put this out there, and I've always thought this, that women who get any role at all are extremely successful. And I don't think, you know, if you were to compare them with all actors across the board of every gender, you know, if you get any role at all, you should feel really successful. And I think for me personally, when I was younger, I felt a lot of questionings, like, what have you been in? As if I needed to prove my resume to people to sort of like justify that I was an actor. And I think that it took me a while to realize that because I had gotten some roles, that's success. That's a definition of success. And but I think that's something that's hard, especially for women, because if the odds are stacked against you, just by sheer numbers, let alone all of the other factors that go on in the film industry or that used to go on even more prevalently. You know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But I think you had touched on something earlier that you almost said, but you didn't say, was that you've become a writer and a producer. And I think that is innately because you wanted to create something for yourself. Because
that's exactly why.
And that's where we kind of have that synergy. Because I actually I'm doing a micro series, almost done. It's called Mom Squad. And it is a comedy, and it's about what would happen if the wrong women were to try and save the world. So it's kind of like, and of course I'm a woman of a certain age. So I think I always think, you know, my role models are women that are usually younger. You know, because I had identified with that, but really I have to live in the world of reality. And I think acting today is more about living in your moment. And I think you were just maybe 10 years ahead of it.
You know, I think I want to pick up on something you just said. I think it's really important. And that is about age in Hollywood, and not especially for women, but I've also noticed this for men. I've noticed that it's still the last area where we can still sort of disregard people, and it's still acceptable to say, well, and I don't want to get too political, but like in general, there's so many cases where people can just say, well, it's somebody who's older, so that makes it okay. And I don't feel that way. I think that people of all age, you know, should exist and be present, and we need to hear from everybody.
Right.
And especially again, like something like Hollywood, we need women to stay and be visible.
Right.
And I don't think that age should be an issue. I don't think we should have to try to be young. Like those stories are more interesting, because all women of all ages have some really interesting stories to tell, and there's an audience for it.
And I think too, everybody's always trying to fit into a mold. So, you know, plastic surgeons are making a fortune with that. So we're always trying to fit into a certain mold. And I think I know Betty White just recently passed away, and I believe that literally is a hero for me, because my favorite movie was Lake Placid. You know, it was a silly, goofy movie, but she made that whole movie just being who she was and just playing.
I think she's definitely
someone to emulate.
Yeah, I think Betty White is a wonderful example of someone who's had to come really long career, but she's also just so energetic and so unapologetically herself. And I think that she's a really good example for that. Like I want to go easy on women though, and say that what I don't enjoy is when you were talking about plastic surgery and how women feel, you know, have to do all of these things to sort of have a youthful appearance. I'm not against that. I think that women should feel good about themselves and do whatever they want.
But oh, I didn't say I was against it. I just don't think that they should do it to.
No, no.
My bike. I don't think they should do it just to fit a mold.
No, I'm agreeing with you. Sorry if I came across wrong, because my ultimate point is that I see people saying there's a contradiction, and this isn't coming from you. Just this is from the public in general. I hear people saying, don't do plastic surgery, or criticizing women for doing plastic surgery. But at the same time, if women don't do that, they'll be criticized for how they look.
Oh, I completely agree.
So it's like, you know, if a woman is going to respond to the pressure that she has to stay, she wants to stay irrelevant. And if she wants to like use these tools that are available to her, that plenty of people of, you know, men, women, everybody is profiting from, then she should be allowed to do that. But if she does, I don't think that we should be criticized if she doesn't look, you know, perfect still, or natural, or whatever the criticism may be.
I think people criticize just to criticize. I was just more concerned about their feelings. Like if they feel like they have to do that to remain relevant. I don't really, I'm not against plastic surgery. I'm just saying that I don't think it should make you have to feel relevant. If it makes you feel good, that's whole different, you know? But anyway, so I wanted to ask you, so what woman in film or television has inspired you?
There's so many. I mean, if we want to talk about actors and roles that I've watched and films that I've enjoyed, and there's just many, many of them. The one that's at the top of my list, and is the top of a lot of people's lists, is Meryl Streep, because I just adore her. And
you kind of look like her.
What's that?
You kind of have a Meryl Streep look to you.
Well, that is a big compliment.
Have you ever
been told
that?
Anybody will agree with that? No.
I swear, that's what you remind me of.
Well, I like that. Thank you. I'll accept that, no matter whether people agree if I look like her or not. But I just think she's, and the thing about her is she looks like a lot of different people. So maybe it depends on which role that you're referring to.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
She just sinks and dives into her characters and embodies them. And she has, I don't know how she does it or what she does. I know she's got a great acting education. She went to the Yale Drama School, and she's worked hard at it. But at the same time, I think that she also just, there's something about her personally that we find interesting to watch.
I think too, she's not cookie cutter looking, and so she looks like a movie star. I think if you really look at the big movie stars, they don't look like everybody else. They kind of set a step away. I mean, they don't fit into a mold. They took their own mold and they made it their own. And I think as I've gotten to be an older actress, I've kind of learned that, you know, you just be proud to be yourself, I think is the message. Be proud of who you are, because there's nobody like you.
I take that to heart. And I also struggle with that, you know, because I do accept myself, you know, in my daily life with my family, my friends. But when it comes to film, I still feel this pressure, even getting ready for this interview. You know, I feel like, you know, everything needs to look a certain way. And I internalized that over the years. And I think that we all have, it's just what we've been exposed to. And it's hard to undo it.
It's almost like scar tissue, you know? So let's move on to producing, because I know you have a couple of projects that you wanted to talk about.
Sure.
So what is the most recent project that you worked on that you love?
Okay, so there is one that is out now, or we just released it, and it was in movie theaters, called Tango Shalom. And this is a project that I am a producer on, associate producer, and I was the first producer attached to this film. When you see it, you'll see that there's a lot of producers now, and Joel Zwick is one of the producers who's, you know, known for all of his work. He directed My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and he's just, you know, the most prolific TV producer. He directed Full House and Laverne and Shirley, Mork and Mindy. You know, he's got all these credits. And so to be on a producing team with him is just really a highlight for me. And he's a great guy to work with and to know. But this is a project that I started, I believed in, years ago when they pitched it to me. And I was the first one they attached to it. And it took a really long time because it was an independent film. And so it's really satisfying to see it now. It got a theatrical run. It was in movie theaters all across the U.S.
That's great.
And yeah, and it was the number one opening weekend, the number one independent film of the summer, you know, in terms of its opening weekend box office.
So where do you find this movie?
Well, now it's available. It changes, you know, it depends on the distributor and who's getting picked up. But I know the last I checked, it was on Amazon Prime.
Okay. And
I don't want to say the wrong platforms, but it was on Google, YouTube, and Vudu, and several others.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure people will be able to find it, because I think I love the concept, and I loved My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And I think because I am half Jewish, it kind of makes me feel like that side of me is being heard. I think, you kind of grow up when you're, you know, half and half. I think my mother was Catholic. My father was Jewish. My mother turned Buddhist. So I call myself religiously ADHD. but I see merit in all. I think that really does speak to people who, you know, are of a certain religion, because you don't understand culture and it kind of crosses over culture, which I love that.
Right. I like that it focuses on Hasidic Judaism, and it's a comedy, and it's not just something that's, you know, showing them in a bad light. It's showing the humanity and the humor and all of that. It's a wonderful dance movie, and it's a real feel good movie. Really,
Is it romantic too, or?
I mean, in some ways it is, but that's not the main focus of it.
Right.
It's,
uh-huh.
It's like not as much so as My Big Fat Greek Wedding, but it has a lot of similarities.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that one's literally about a wedding, but it's really about the family, and this one is too.
Oh,
and it's like about having a dream and trying to capture that dream.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I'm definitely gonna look for that one. So, and I know you just did a short film called Stanley's Mistake.
I produced that, and we just finished it. And it's a dystopian film about a world where free speech has been outlawed.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
Right. So it's a short film that we're going to, you know, send to festivals, and we just completed it. So I'm really happy to see that completed, and we can take the next step. I enjoy working on films with those kind of topics that make you think. I like
I think
pieces.
Too, you have, if you're going to work on a film, because like you said, Tango Shalom took a long time, and independent films take a long time, because it's mostly about funding and then attaching the right people to it. So and being the first one, it's great, but you're in that for that long haul. So you have to love what you're doing, and you have to really.
Yep.
So what is your ultimate goal?
So creatively, you mean?
Like what's in the future? Like, how do you see yourself moving forward?
So like I said, I've always been an actor. I still identify, like, this part of my identity is I'm an actor. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've always wanted to do since I was a kid. And then when I hit that roadblock where I just felt like I wanted more control over getting roles. And then I decided to do more producing.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get into producing, though, you realize if you're a good producer, you need to do what's best for the film. And so not in every case can I be even acting. In some of the cases, if somebody wants me to work on a film with them, you know, if it's not right for the film and there's no role for me, then I'm just producing it. Which I have found that I equally enjoy. I love to produce as well.
It's just producing, because when you're the producer, like you said, you're the first one in and the last one out. I mean, you're pretty much like, you're there. It's your life,
right?
For sure.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. So what is the most important advice you give a filmmaker or an actor?
Okay. So an actor starting out now, I would say that they should get some training. I mean, I know that most people think you could probably skip that step, but I think that there's not just the training that you get, but I think you also get a community. I think you get an understanding of the business. You get time to sort of develop and learn the business, have people you can rely on, have people you can connect with. And because really, in addition to the skill of acting, you have to have the connections. And that's the one thing as a producer that I've realized, and is that knowing people is how you get films made more than anything.
Yeah, it's definitely a relationship game. I think people don't understand that. I think there's a lot of people that have a great relationship game, but they don't spend the time training. So then they're not ready. You have to do it all. And it is a full-fledged business.
Yeah, and I would just say always be ready for an opportunity, because that's something that I learned a long time ago. When things, I just feel like I want to be prepared for something good to happen, because they do. you know, you don't expect it. And then all of a sudden I had that my first short film that I produced under my own production company, my very first one, it was called Catching Up, was accepted at Sundance. And I mean, it was so exciting. Everybody hopes for that. But then when it happened, I don't know if I felt completely prepared. You know,
I don't think you're ever prepared, so you're fine.
But there's a lot you have to do. You know, you need to get the publicist, you got to get, you know, the film ready to be screened. I mean, there's a lot of things. So anything that you can do to just keep preparing for the success that's about to come is my advice.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, it's been so great talking to you, Jill. I know I would love to have you back.
I love talking to you too. I would keep going and just.
I know we could go. I know this happens all the time because I know I could sit here and talk to you for like 2 hours and it'd be not a problem. But we will. I'll definitely have you on again because the show is just getting its restart. But this is Real Women Celebrating Women in Independent Film, and today we are celebrating Jill Gray Savarese. So great!
Thank you so much. This has been super fun for me.